And today we're going to start Esther chapter 9. And this is by far the longest chapter in the book of Esther. And 2 to 3 times longer than most of these chapters. And so I plan to stretch this out for 2 weeks. But what is covered in this chapter is, this is like the D-Day. This is the day that the war and the battle goes down. And this day that the wicked Haman had cast lots and determined the day to annihilate all the Jews in the kingdom. Well, this is the day, the 13th day of Adar, which is the 12th month of the year. It would our 12th month, of course, is December, but their calendar was skewed off of ours as far as the time of the year. This is more of a March time frame, March, and then the first month of their calendar year was more end of March, 1st to April time frame. This little offset from our calendar. And so anyway, he had done this at the first month, and how he cast the lot, it landed on the 12th month, so it was essentially a year away, like determining in January that in December you're going to do this thing. So it's been quite a while and plenty of time for preparation. Well, this is the day that the Jews' enemies are going to attack the Jews. But now, of course, in the meantime, Queen Esther and Mordecai have gone to King Ahasuerus, or better known as King Xerxes, and have gotten another decree written that commands the Jews to defend themselves and to kill anyone that wants to kill them. So there's going to be a huge massacre. And in addition, we're going to find out that the Persian army is also going to help, and the soldiers are going to help the Jews to fight these allies of Haman, who is now dead, and his sons, 10 sons, to help them. So it's not just the Jews fighting, it's also the Persian army and soldiers. Okay, so Esther 9, verse 1. Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. On the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. So the tables were flipped. Here, the allies of the now dead Haman and his 10 sons thought they were going to kill all the Jews, and the opposite happened. The Jews have overpowered them. Verse 2, the Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm. And no one could withstand them, because fear of them fell upon all people. And all the officials of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and all those doing the king's work helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. And now we remember from the previous chapter that the king made Mordecai prime minister. So he is second in command to the king. And so now the soldiers have all helped them. The army of the Persians have helped them to help the Jews. Verse 4, for Mordecai was great in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai, became increasingly prominent. Now, see, Haman had been the prime minister, and he just, and it wasn't told how oppressive or anything, except of how he dealt with Mordecai. And you could see how high and mighty he held himself and how he treated Mordecai. He just wanted him killed because he did not bow before him as he walked by. So we can reasonably assume and extrapolate that this is how he operated, and he ruled with fear of the people, whereas Mordecai, completely opposite, would be kind and generous and more of a loving manner. And so the phrase that is said, he became increasingly prominent. The people really liked him versus hated Haman and feared Haman. Verse 5, thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they pleased with those who hated them. And in Shushan, the citadel, this is the palace there, the king's palace, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Okay, now, you know, every time we get one of these Persian names, these names are something else. And true to form, they didn't let us down. We've got 10 names. These are the 10 sons of Haman. And their names are just as strange and somewhat difficult to pronounce as any of the others that we've had in this chapter. So here we go. Verse 7. Also, Parshandatha, Dalphon, Aspatha, Poratha, Adalia, Eridatha, Parmashta, Arisai, Aridai, and Vajasatha. The 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, they killed, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. Now, that was specifically stated in both of these creeds that went out to the people. The one that was to all of the Persians that said to kill all the Jews. Then they said, take all of their goods and all of their wealth and take it for yourselves. That was your reward for killing the Jews. Well, then in like manner, when Esther and Mordecai had written the opposite decree to all of the Jews saying, defend yourself and kill any of those that are trying to kill you, and then it was go to their household and take all of their plunder. So that was what the decree said, but the Jews had planned and agreed that they weren't going to take any of the plunder. They were only going to defend themselves, and then they weren't going to make the families destitute because of what these dads and husbands had done. And so they didn't take any of the wealth from these wicked people trying to extinguish them. So verse 11. On that day, the number of those who were killed in Shushan the citadel was brought to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the citadel and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is your petition, and what shall it shall be granted to you, or what is your further request, and it shall be done? So he wants an account. He knows that there's 500 being killed in Shushan. And we're about to find out that that's not all of them. There's 300 more people that weren't able to kill yet on this one day. And they're going to have to extend it to a second day. And that's going to be the request. And then we're also about to find out that there were 75,000 in the whole empire of allies of the deceased Haman that wanted to assassinate all the Jews. Verse 13. Are there any questions or comments on anything up to this point? Verse 13. Then Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. So, this is what Esther is wanting, is the 10 sons to be crucified. Now, they're already dead, but now they're going to hang them on crosses on display as a warning to anyone, don't ever try to assassinate the Jews ever again. And this will be a long-term memory that will be seared into all of the Persians' minds from here on out. And this is something that has been done throughout history. And maybe one of the more prominent times, just because they made a movie about it, is the movie Spartacus. At the very end of the movie, the Romans did exactly the same thing when all of these slave soldiers had an uprising against the Roman Empire, and then finally the Roman Empire tamped down on them and wiped them out. Well, they crucified all of these, and that's how the movie Spartacus ends. For miles and miles on the road, they just put up crosses and hung these men all down the road for everyone to see. You never go against the Roman Empire, ever. Well, this is what they did with these 10 sons of Haman. They crucified them as a warning. And even much more recent, some 2,500 years into the future of when this account happened here, it was in, I guess it was like 1945. It was in Italy again, right at the end of World War II. And the people finally had enough of the tyrant Mussolini, and they went and captured Mussolini and his wife and other people too, and they hanged them. Now, they hung them by the rope like we would execute people here in this nation in the past. And I watched a documentary on this, and they even had somebody took a picture. It's kind of grainy and not good resolution, but you can see three people are hanging, and you couldn't tell who they were. They might even have bags over their heads. But anyway, they did. The eyewitness account was that this was Mussolini, and they left them hanging. These three, at least, and there might have been more, but at least here, and they said they left them hanging for days and days, and then they stunk. But that was also the same kind of warning here to that which, of course, with Mussolini, that was letting all the bureaucrats know, don't you ever go against and oppress the Italian people again, because that will be your fate, just as Mussolini's fate was. But anyway, this is what that warning was. And it's obviously a very vivid warning and very effective to keep people from repeating a bad behavior. So verse 14. So the king commanded this to be done. The decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. Verse 15. And the Jews who were in Shushan gathered together again on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men at Shushan, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. Okay, so they were not able to kill all the enemies of the Jews, the ones that were trying to kill the Jews, on that first 13th day. So they needed one extra day. They were able to get 500 killed, but there were still 300 coming after them, and they needed one more day, and they were able to do that on the 14th day. But they still didn't take any of the plunder. They never took any of the plunder in Shushan nor in all of the provinces out in the Persian Empire. Nowhere did the Jews take any plunder. They were just defending themselves only. Verse 16. The remainder of the Jews in the king's provinces gathered together and protected their lives, had rest from their enemies, and killed 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. So, here we have 75,800 enemies of the Jews who were allies of Haman, who had followed this wicked decree that had gone out nearly a year before. So there were 75,800 of them, and they all came to their end on these, mostly on day one, but 300 of them remained for day two. So, verse 17. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the month, they rested, this being the rest of the province, because all of the whole province, they were able, everyone that was outside of the city of Shushan were able to kill everyone on the one day. So then, the next day, on the 14th, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Whereas, we're going to find out that it was the 15th day that the people in Shushan will celebrate, because it took them 2 days to kill off their enemies. Any questions or comments on anything?